host, Tia, holistic nutritionist, integrative nutrition health coach, prenatal, postpartum nutrition professional with a focus on whole person health. Today, I have a special episode to be sharing with you guys. Elizabeth Bogart is a big-hearted teacher with a sensitive soul who adores special synchronicities, seasonal celebrations, ritual, and all things cosmic. She teaches Kundalini yoga and meditation, prenatal yoga, and is a Reiki practitioner. A total yoga nerd, she loves diving into quantum physics, astrology, and numerology, and often weaves these topics into her offerings. She primarily works with artists, entrepreneurs, and individuals and families preparing to conceive, preparing for labor, and regulating monthly cycles postpartum and beyond. Elizabeth is the lead author of Conscious Conception Workbook, a companion guide to the Conscious Conception course. She created with embodiment coach and aromatherapist Chrissy Gasholm. I have posted all of the links where you can find their book, their course, and additionally contact Elizabeth in the show notes today. Hi, Elizabeth. I am so grateful that we are finally sitting down and getting to talk about your beautiful book, Conscious Conception.
Aww, thanks for having me.
How did this book even start? Like, where did you begin this process and get to this point of creating such a comprehensive and holistic way of thinking of preconception?
Well, I had been teaching Kundalini prenatal yoga for a couple years, and Christy, who's the co-creator of Conscious Conception, we created a course together, and she was one of my students. And at the end of the class, I was just asking, you know, how does everyone feel about their pregnancy and upcoming labor? And her response was, "I'm excited." And I was like, I loved that answer of "I'm excited." And we reconnected via Instagram while she was going through postpartum. And it started off as honestly just casual. I had reached out to her because I was like, oh, I want to create a 6-week container or experience for women who are pregnant. She's like, oh, I want to do that too. And we started having weekly calls. And I think because she was going so deeply into her own postpartum journey that she was like, I think we need to go back further to conscious conception. How are women mothering themselves before motherhood? And it really became this organic weekly conversation. Like, we almost held a course container for ourselves of diving into these topics. And we read the Spirit Babies book by Walter Makachin, which is became the anchor text within our course, and just reflected back to each other of the themes in that book. We created a course, and then this current iteration of the book was the workbook connected to that course, and that had its own 3-year journey of coming to life. And I think it's interesting, from like the start point to now, we each had to learn different things that were included in the book. So the first draft definitely didn't look like the one that you have in your hand.
This draft is beautiful. It's one of those books where you're not opening it up and like feeling bored by it or getting lost in like other thoughts, because the way it's set up, I can definitely see how a course goes behind this, but also like you don't need the course to go through this book and apply it into your life today. And this book, again, it covers so much, and I love that you guys talk about mothering yourself before conception. I can definitely see how taking that time to put those pieces of your life, your mothering, into your own space, your own heart, your own mind, plays the biggest role in conception, in pregnancy, and very much in postpartum, when you are learning how to be a mother to another being, another soul that has just entered this world. Before we got on, started recording this, I told you how I wish I would have had this prior to becoming pregnant. I'm now in my second pregnancy, so I have a toddler, and I'm 18 weeks pregnant right now. But I'm still so grateful to have this, even at this point in my journey of motherhood, because I do believe it's never too late to start mothering ourselves. So much of our parenting journey is reparenting ourselves, right?
Yeah, and you're a different person. I was just saying this to someone else. So I'm re-remembering. It's so funny. It's like the origin story of how did it happen? I think she was in the space of mothering herself postpartum and really getting to know that new version of herself. And I realized this was in 2021. So we'd already been like deep in the pandemic. And I have been working with women who are pregnant. But what started to surface for me is in 2021, a lot of women who were processing miscarriage were coming out of the woodwork. And a lot of women who were processing miscarriage secretly in 2020, you know, locked down at home, not sharing it, and then having that unprocessed grief and not allowing themselves to conceive or feeling like it would be betraying that child that they lost to get pregnant again. So I started having one-on-one clients and really learning about that process, because it across cultures, they actually treat like a miscarriage almost like a sacred postpartum or that golden month. So it was interesting that we were both experiencing or interacting with that kind of energy at that time. And I think these principles can cross over when you're going through any stage of transition. I know a lot of women come to me after their child is 18 months because they're like, the family structure is a little bit set. There's a new routine. And it's like, okay, who am I now? Who am I as mom? Who am I outside of being a mom or a caretaker? How am I never going to be the same again? How am I still myself? And I think throughout your whole life, you're going through those transitions. You don't just become a mom. You become a mom of a newborn. Then you're a mom of a toddler. Then you're a mom of a teenager. Then you're a mom of a college student. Like, you're going to be constantly reinventing yourself just as your child is constantly growing and becoming more of themselves or a new version. These practices really are for that kind of transition. And I've had readers as well. I had a book launch party in my third grade teacher came and we had like a lovely catch-up chat, but she was even saying some of these principles she was sharing with her grandson, who is going through a lot of anxiety graduating from college, especially graduating from college. His whole college experience was framed by the pandemic. So uncertainty and newness, he has a different relationship with the unknown. For me, graduating from college was exciting. Unknown for him is like dangerous. So rewiring your brain to how do you greet a new situation? Is it fun and exciting and elevating, or is it scary and filled with self-doubt? And I think that thought can be, you can frame that in the motherhood experience of, are you excited to be a mom of a toddler, or does it freak you out and scare you? So there's definitely different, even an audience outside, if it was written for, can glean pearls of wisdom from it.
Yes, from reading this book, I completely agree with that statement, because it really is a guidance in transition. It's a guidance in how to navigate this time of change and become the type of person, but in this case, the type of mother that you want to be specifically. And no matter what stage you're at, like you were saying, in that journey of motherhood, whether that be preconception for maybe significantly longer than you expected preconception to take, or maybe once you're hit postpartum and none of it is what you expected it to be, or none of it has gone in the way that you thought it would go. And how do we surrender to those moments? How do we make, I don't like to say make the best of them, but make meaning out of those moments and allow our story to be written in the way that it's going to be done, and allow ourselves to show up the best we can for these tiny humans, these tiny souls that are meant to be with us. Like, the book does talk a lot about the spirit babies and the soul contracts. I loved that concept of like our children and even the ones who have been miscarried. Like, we were put together for a reason, for a specific and certain amount of time, right? Like, we were meant to love each other for that period of time and love each other deeply, and even maybe not get to know each other in the same way we thought it was going to be, but still have that experience of knowing each other. And how can we grow from that hard place of that nobody wants to be in, yet so many find themselves in. And to do it alone, to do it in isolation, is the worst place to do it, because there's so much shame and so much vulnerability that isn't shown to, like, there's no light that gets shine in there. And that's when it gets manifested and creates that darkness in our womb and our soul and our minds. And then we can't expand. We can't become who we want to be. We can't become that mother. And this book really does open you up to the process that needs to unfold, or the process that should unfold for us, and help us prepare for what is to come, because it is unknown. It's always going to be uncertain, and we can't sell certainty, but we can sell guidance.
Yeah. That's
the next best, I guess.
I think language holds a lot of power and meaning, and I think it was really important for us not to use the phrase trying to get pregnant, because trying implies failure, success, versus preparing for pregnancy and preparing for parenthood, and opening that space up to that can look a lot of different ways. And it also I think reemphasizes the process. Certain things, if you look back in your life, I'm sure there's many things that you maybe want right away, but you had to like become the version of yourself to receive it, whether it's a job, a relationship, a family. So I think reframing that as this is preparation of how am I internally talking to myself when I have big emotions, that's going to be like the echo of how I hold space for like a toddler moving through a tantrum. How do I care for my physical body or my environment so that I can also be a gatekeeper for my child's health? All of it is, again, we want it so bad in our own timeline, but I think everyone can trace back an example in their lives of, oh, I wanted it, but I wasn't ready, and I needed to go through certain experiences in order to receive it. I'm not yet a mother, but I know what it is to yearn for that next stage in your life. And I think it's the biggest disservice when we feed ourselves worry while we wait. And it's like the energy of meeting a good friend for lunch, and like the energy, like you're running late. You can tell if that friend is like, whenever you get here, I'm good, I'm happy to receive you. Or they're like looking at your watch going like, you're not here yet, you're not here yet, I'm mad. And I feel like that was the image. The more I dove into this and read Walter's book and co-crafted our course, it was like, oh, that energy of like, I'm ready for whenever you want to show up feels really good, versus you're not here yet and I'm getting mad and like madder and madder and madder at myself, at you, at the world. Like, you can feel that. And there's so much beauty in the anchor text of this course in Walter's book. I really do. That feels true in my body, that we choose our parents. And I think he talks about how some folks we have like karma with or contracts with, and other spirit babies are just attracted to the most love. So what the best use of your time is to cultivate more self-love, and like to be that like little lighthouse for the soul that's ready to be born. And I write about this in the book as well, but I'm fascinated by astrology and a student of astrology, and there's so much that's programmed by our natal chart. And all the natal chart is what the sky looks like the moment we take our first breath. I think sometimes things get delayed because they're waiting to be, what's that day that I'm going to be born? That dictates so much of your personality, so much of your life path. And having that understanding that there's a third party involved. It's not just, what are me and my partner doing wrong? Or what are these on a science level? Why aren't these computing? Maybe something needs to wait because there's something specific. They want to enter with a certain personality, and no one's doing anything wrong. It's just not time yet. There's an example in Walter's book where he talks about like, if I don't, sometimes miscarriage happens from his perspective of, you know, the body is just not, they're meant to be born in this life with a really healthy body. So if there's an inkling that apartment's not going to be right, that house isn't going to be right, they'll miscarriage and wait for the next one. I like that zoomed out look, because it makes it less personal of what are the micro little things that I did wrong. And it makes you kind of understand that you're kind of swept up in this sacred pattern that is astrology and that is the universe. And you get to just, yeah, dance with it a little bit instead of force it.
I love that analogy too. And it's such an expansive way to look at it versus this micromanaging way of, like you said, what am I doing wrong? How is my body failing me? How has my past failed me? I haven't taken the best care of myself, or my genes, like this stuff that I have no control over. How is it failing me? And instead, like taking this course to prepare our mind, our body, and our soul all together at once is an important step, because they all are intertwined. We really cannot separate those systems and think that we're going to fix the whole. We have to take a holistic approach to it. And your book goes into all the areas. It talks about nutrition. It talks about meditation. It talks about all of these things that are going to help us create the environment on the inside, from our womb to our mind to our soul, like all of those things that do impact the baby before it's born. And there's so much science now behind this, of how much the mom's not only what she's consuming physically, but what her brain is thinking, what the thoughts are portraying, what cortisol and oxytocin is being developed because of the things that she's experiencing impact the baby, the infant, the fetus so much too. So doing that work prior to becoming a parent and learning how to mother yourself is so invaluable. And I'm so grateful that you wrote this. And I'm going to just put this out there. I can't wait for the postpartum version.
Wonderful. Actually, the next book that's pregnancy. So I've been teaching a 6-week prenatal course for a while. It's Kundalini Prenatal. And that's actually the first book I thought that was going to be written. But then again, Christy and I's conversations took me back, but yeah, that's going to be the next one, I think. So, but it's all the same topics of that book, just recycled and oriented to this different situation. So they're so versatile to think about. How does your breath support your mind? How does your nutrition support your ability to trust the sensory data of your body and your intuition? It's so interesting how all of that connects. I find it endlessly fascinating to dive into all that.
I do too. And it's not something that you're going to get from an OBGYN or what you're going to get from like a midwife. Like, your provider doesn't have enough time and space to provide these things for you. And so we have to seek them out ourselves. And we have to, I think on some level, we have to desire that work for ourselves, because it's not mainstream yet. Like, I like to think that there's a lot of stuff changing in our culture, but then I just stop and I realize, oh no, it's me that's changing. It's the people I'm surrounding myself with that's changing. And it's the algorithm of social media that realizes these changes. And so I think it's so widely spread. But when I talk to people that, you know, I've known for a long time, they kind of look at me like, oh, I guess, yeah, that stuff is connected. I've never thought about it. And so getting something out there that is so easy to pick up and read just a little bit, that's not super time consuming every day, that can fit into this overscheduled culture, is important. And you've done the work. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine the course that you guys put on too is just invaluable, and the things that the women get out of there are probably so much deeper than just the preconception work.
Really special. I do have to say too, something I'm really proud of. It's not a how-to. It's not a this is the way. It's not giving you really any recommendations. What it is there are 6 topics of inquiry, and it's really guiding you to self-reflect, to be like, what sound currents feel the best in my body? Is it a Christina Aguilera song, or is it solfeggio frequencies? Like, I really don't have like an agenda to push in the book. The biggest agenda is to connect with, get so regulated that you can pay attention to what you pay attention to, and pay attention to how your body communicates with you, so that you can understand what are your your big yeses and your big nos? Does your Glennon Doyle talks about feeling like hot or cold when making a decision, but it's like, do you feel expansive or contracted? Do you have those butterflies in your stomach? Like, how does your body communicate a yes? How does your body communicate a no? And getting really comfortable trusting that. And whether that's some people, they'll go down the path of astrology and really understanding themselves that way. Some people will understand their relationship to movement. It doesn't really matter. And some people will probably open this book and maybe only resonate with one chunk of the book, one content. And in every section, we reference and I reference my favorite books and my favorite people that I follow. And it might take you down a whole rabbit hole, even just like one page might do that. And it's designed by that. And there's all these QR codes and little mini practices throughout. And the intent is that as we keep collecting our favorite resources, that we can update that. So it just becomes this like little treasure chest of things to remind you that your body is magic, that this world is magic. And when we get too into like the muggleness that we can, I don't know, bring ourselves back to the wonder that like, wow, I exist with this personality on this spinning rock. And when I get too bogged down by things aren't going my way, zooming out and understanding that it's kind of a miracle that I exist at all. And then I meet the people I meet and then I'm doing the things I do. It actually like draws more magic to you and things happen faster again when you're not like timing it, but you let go of the stopwatch, like things actually come a lot faster. I think that might have been a tangent. I don't know if that was answering anything or connected to anything.
That's perfect. I agree with you on like there is no agenda being pushed in this book. Like she's not trying to sell us anything. And you make it very clear in the beginning too, like you don't need to participate in the mm-hmm. course. You can just use this book as a resource to dive deeper into the topics that do feel like a big yes for you. And I also agree that I think like the biggest thing being pushed in here is self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And that's a beautiful thing because self-awareness carries us through everything in life, every transition that we're going to encounter, every circumstance that we have no control over. Self-awareness is always there. Like we are always our touch point. Like it's us, like who we are, no matter what happens in your preconception journey, your motherhood journey, you are always going to have you. And this book is a deep connection to you. And that's what really feels so expansive and so important in motherhood.
Yeah. And the other thing too is you deserve to feel good now as you're preparing your body. You deserve to feel good even if you're in the midst of grieving a miscarriage, or you deserve to feel good. And it's not a reward for good behavior. It's actually like the wellspring that you'll be able to show up for everyone in your life, including yourself. And that space of feeling good will actually, it's not a distraction from your path. It'll actually give you more information about what's next. Just in the workspaces I've been and in the different cultures I've been, that was really important too, of the feel good first. That's not escaping from your life. That's actually a being really embodied to feel good. That was really important to me to emphasize, because I think, again, the old way of even approaching motherhood is, you know, give to everyone else and you're at the bottom of the list. But the female system is designed to give from overflow. So you have to give water, fill your cup first so that you can really give from love versus giving in a resentful way. And how amazing would that be if every person entering parenthood really got to practice that giving from overflow? How different would every kiddo's childhood be if they were being loved from overflow instead of love from obligation, exhaustion, and moments of that happen, but like fully like loved without resentment? And what kind of world would we have? So it's really a powerful, the way you love and parent your children, the way you love and parent your body, yourself, is is a revolution. Like, it really does change a whole generation. So it's no small thing, and you can feel very alone on your path, but it's you're doing a service to the whole planet, really, by receiving and raising a kiddo that feels loved and secure and loving yourself for doing it in an imperfect way.
Yes, I 100% agree with that. Like, to imagine a world and to imagine just what our culture could turn into if we could nurture and love our children from this revolutionary place of just overflow of love, it's a beautiful thing to think about. And it's hard because it's not mainstream. It's hard because it is a revolution to nurture and love ourselves. Have you read the book or heard of the book, The Nurture Revolution?
No. You're gonna love it. Cool. Add it to my list. I love it.
I've just started reading that one recently, and it talks about just how important it is to nurture our children from birth to 3 years old. And that's when specifically the emotional brain is developing, and how that affects our thinking brain, and that affects how our overall health, but especially our mental health, develops as humans and as adults, and how we're in a mental health crisis, right? Most people experience some type of mental health crisis at some point in their life. And if we can go and turn around and look at ourselves in the mirror and truly love and nurture ourselves before we bring a soul into this world, like, it's going to impact not only this generation, but the generations to come.
Definitely.
That's what's so mind-blowing and motivating too, I think, to do this work, to pick up books like this, to love ourselves, to do the work that maybe doesn't feel like something that you've ever even considered, but to recognize that it's going to prepare you in a way and to be a person in such a time that you need to be, like, it's worth it.
I also think it's not done. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, I love myself, the end. It's like, because you're going to constantly be greeting it. So the whole idea of, it's actually how amazing that you're spending 3 years other cultures, it is not uncommon to spend 3 years to prepare the body to conceive. And in the modern fast pace, if it doesn't happen in the second month, something's wrong. Should we get to, there's just an urgency, but you're meant to prepare. And if you have a chance to really prepare and create habits, it's that you're already being thrown with so much new learning when the baby arrives. And even when you're pregnant, it's hard to establish new habits and patterns. So why not have these beautiful patterns so that you can lean on these practices. Chances are in the first 6 months of being a mom or 18 months of being a mom, you won't have a meditation practice that you had when you were preparing to conceive. You might not have even 11 minutes to like sit down. But the way it was described to me in Kundalini Yoga, every meditation you do is remembered in your cells. Every wellness practice. So it's like you're building up your spiritual bank account or wellness bank account. And what will happen is, and I just talked to a mama who's her twins are almost a year. She's had a relationship with a sound current and this meditation, and she used to have a longer practice with it. And now when things are really dysregulated, just putting on that song calms her nervous system down, and her babies recognize it and it calms them down. So what used to be maybe a complicated meditation is now just a song you listen to. She also plays, one of the aspects of the book is talking about solfeggio frequencies and what that does to the water in the body. She'll play that at night and you don't even have to hear it. Just, it's like a sound bath. If you've ever been in a sound bath, it's frequency. It's in the air. It literally changes the vibration in the room. So I also think new moms can sometimes be hard on themselves of like, I had it all right. I was drinking water. I was doing my steps. I was doing all the things. Now I can't do that. Well, it's not lost and your routines change. So no, maybe you're not going to the gym you used to or doing your running, but you're still carrying a 15-pound exercise ball that is now just your baby. So like, you're still moving and doing all those things. But I just find that's amazing too, that like the cells in your body will remember that sound, and it takes very little. It's almost like just hearing it will give you the effect of a long, complicated meditation. So again, nothing's lost.
I love that. That body memory is so important, especially in those early months and years where life does feel very much at the whim of this tiny being. And you're like, are you going to nap? This is your time to nap, but I don't know. And instead of fighting that so hard, just surrendering to it and bringing in what you have been practicing, the habits that you have already established within yourself. That's what your babies feel. They feel the frequency not only of your emotions, whether or not you're outwardly expressing them, but they feel it even pent up in you. And they're going to react to that. And I love that you said that that mom will just play the certain song now for her kids and like they react to it too, because we're so interconnected with our children even after they leave our bodies. We are still interconnected.
It's so funny that you say, like, the magnetic field of our body, our aura. There's a soft spot of the skull for the kiddos. I'm forgetting what that's called, but that doesn't close up right away. But while that's going on, a baby doesn't have its own aura. In yogic traditions, they believe that it's for the first 40 days, the baby is still protected by the mother's aura. So if you've ever had, for a mom with a like a 1 month old, if it ever felt like you were missing an arm, if your baby was like in a different room or too far away, that's because it's they were out of your feet. Like your aura extends up to about 9 feet. So it's very common to feel secure to have the baby to be skin to skin or just to be close to you all the time or holding, because like our energetic anatomy dictates that like babies should be close to you because your field is still protecting them. It's so wild. The cells of your body exchange. So like fetal cells have been found in like the mama's heart decades after birth. You exchange cells as they're growing inside you. And there's so many stories about mothers and kids, like a mom just knowing that a kid was in trouble or something. And I think that has to do with the water in the body too. There's studies that they're doing of taking, if you take water from Lake Michigan and you put it in the Pacific Ocean, the water, the Lake Michigan water will still communicate with each other. There's so much science coming out about that. So, and nature's designed so perfectly and amazing. As you know, sight comes in. For a while, the baby can only see the distance between the boob and the face. So if mama is stressed out, you're programming that baby's psyche that the world is a stressed out and dangerous place. If mom feels cared for and is smiling and you're just in love with that baby, you're programming the baby that the outside world is a loving place. So it really is important. Feeling good is not a luxury. It's a necessity. And having your support network know what are the different things that make you feel good, and having the language to say, hey, I have a new love language, I have a new need, is no small thing. Like, it's really valuable. And to have different countries have like a year maternity leave, and that's an investment in society, because mom that feels cared for will have a baby that feels cared for, and it's just a game changer. So those first 3 years are really important for everyone.
It really is. And I love that you say that feeling good is a necessity, and being able to articulate and having the language behind what makes me feel good is something that I think we're conditioned out of in our society. And so having something like this book as a guide to figure out what parts of these practices feel good and work for me and which ones don't, and not feeling guilty for which ones don't, just letting those ones go and being like, okay, well, I'm going to focus on what does feel good and put that into play today, and tell my support network of, no matter how big or small your support network is, have that as something that is communicated to them. So when the time comes to conceive, when the time comes to give birth and be in that sacred time of postpartum and learning how to mother yourself and an infant, like, you have those things already done for you. Because that's, I think, the hardest part about the change is not knowing what feels good anymore, and maybe not feeling like you have the time or space to even figuring it out. So doing it in preconception is really important.
And you're allowed to change too. You're allowed to really dig mantra music and then like really not be into it and need to, you know, shake to Taylor Swift. Like, it's not, there's no hierarchy. Whatever makes you feel good is sacred.
I love that. And I think that's such an important piece of permission to give to change and to welcome that change instead of resist it. I feel like I could talk to you forever, Elizabeth. This time has gone by so fast. I want to know everything that you know because it is so fascinating and I can just see how it could all be applied in my life and make it more expansive and make this beautiful space for things to feel good. Is there anything that you would want to leave our audience with today that we haven't not covered?
I think I'm just grateful for this conversation and grateful for conversations happening of women and individuals can often be preparing for parenthood in secret. And I understand the reasons for that or moving through miscarriage in secret. But I think I just want to say if you have that one person you can talk to or that small community, the lips of our actual lips and the lips of our yoni, our fifth chakra and our second chakra are connected. So I think my hope is that people can move through this with less secrecy and find those safe people, whether it's in an anonymous course container or your best friends from college or your neighbor or someone else going through the experience, because I think we do ourselves a disservice when we keep all the emotions trapped and a lot of just sharing your story and sharing your challenges or sharing your joy. I think some people stay quiet when they're having a joyful pregnancy because someone else might be having a challenging pregnancy or not quite conceiving yet. So really find that one other person or that tiny group to speak about these conversations, have these conversations with, because that alone can be healing. And again, this was designed to be a little pep talk in your pocket. So if you don't have that physical person, the hope is that the language of this book is written with a lot of love, and it's very much my personality in these pages. So even if you don't have someone in your life yet leaning into this book, because it's a terrible thing to feel alone, especially on the conception journey and in parenthood in general. So my hope is that people feel less alone and this book inspires more conversation so people can find their people.
I love that. We are in a culture of isolation and finding the right people is important. So where can we find you, Elizabeth? Because you seem like the right people.
That's so lovely. I mostly live on Instagram, EB_heartwork. My yoga business is called Heartwork because the heart feeds itself first before it's of service to the rest of the body. So very much like this of like, how do you give from a full cup? Our body literally knows how to do that. Mostly on Instagram. And then my website, elizabethbogart.com/events is if you're in person and online, that's where you can find me.
Perfect. We will have everything linked in our show notes as well. If you missed anything, reach out to Elizabeth. She is easy to talk to and loves to have these conversations. Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for having me on, my dear.
Lots of love.
Thank you for joining Begin Again, Mama. I am grateful you chose to spend time with me. I know how busy you are and how precious your time really is. If you like this podcast, I invite you to subscribe or follow on your desired platform. And when you do, please rate and review Begin Again, Mama. This helps me expand our reach. Until next time, remember, each moment is an opportunity to start anew and begin again, Mama.